Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Music and Ministry Podcast. Well, welcome everyone. We're so glad you're with us. Here at Music and Ministry, about once a month, we like to talk about the practical music issues facing many pastors and worship leaders. And today, we're going to talk about the subject of drums, which can be a little dicey, and it's kind of a rough situation for a lot of churches and even music groups in general, with the main issue being, of course, volume control. But more than that, what I want to do today is give you some tips and some insights into how and why musicians do what they do and why they respond the way that they do, so that way you have a better understanding of the real problems that you're dealing with. So I would encourage all of you, pastors, worship leaders, musicians, take a listen even if you're not a drummer. So in our example, in the case of drumming, there are certainly a lot of different methods for reducing the volume of a drum set, from sticks to mutes to electronic versions of the instrument and so on and so forth. Now each one of those have their benefits and along with them, their deficiencies. And the methods that you are going to choose are really based on two things, your knowledge and your desires. And those are really our first two tips for today. So tip number one, you have to know what's possible. And in preparing for this podcast, I was thinking back over my life and remembering when I learned what I know now and the stages I went through to get there. I bought my first pair of drumsticks from some guy in our middle school band for $5. And it was kind of like a secret. I felt like at least I had to keep it a secret. So I would go home, turn my stereo on real loud. I'm sure it was tapes at the time. And I would drum on my pillows. And I didn't even know that your feet were supposed to be involved until much later, which seems really funny to me now. But when you watch TV, all they showed was the top half. So I didn't know. And really along the way, I have played all kinds of different drum sets. I have played a real set way too loud and bought all kinds of muting products to put on it. I've also played electronic drums and I have used every specialty stick known to mankind. And I also have built several fully enclosed drum cages and some modified drum cases and filled it with pillows and with all kinds of different stuff. And now we're pretty insistent upon playing a full drum set with regular drumsticks without a cage at all. And so I know that seems kind of crazy, and I get a lot of crazy looks, which some of you are maybe giving me a crazy look, even through whatever listening device it is that you're listening to today. And you can almost see the battle lines forming in people's eyes when you're talking to them. And so I get it. And I would refer you to our first podcast, we talked about the dumbest advice that was ever pure genius. Because it's not until you see it happen, that you see that it's possible, that you realize, oh, okay, maybe I haven't learned as much as there is to learn. And I say that because here in Nashville, the way I just described drumming with a full drum set with real sticks and usually no cage, that is the norm here in Nashville. And we have a street here in Nashville where every door is a music venue. It's Broadway. It's the part of town they call Nash Vegas because it's going 24/7 and literally banned every few feet. Now, these venues are not big. They're small rooms about the size sometimes of your living room. Some of them are a little bit bigger, but they're definitely smaller than almost every single one of your churches by a lot. Now, what is interesting is that they have a full band playing with regular drums. They're using amps, and sometimes they'll have a monitor. Sometimes they won't even have any monitors. And what's crazy is that it sounds great. It's not too loud. And again, it's really the way things are done here. So their sense of normal is way different than most people's sense of normal. But if you don't know, then that you don't know. So all along the way of my journey of drumming, if you would have asked me, hey, how is this done? I would have said, no, this is how it is done. And you have to do it this way. Now, why did I think that? Well, it's because that was all I knew. So once you really understand what's possible, you have a decision to make, just like some of you are right now. As I communicate what's a standard here in Nashville, you have a decision. Do I want to do that or not? Do I think it's possible? Do I want to go after it? And so that tip number one was you have to know what's possible. And then we run smack into tip number two, which is you have to know your want to. What do you want to do? And this is really the first critical step, because no other amount of advice or skill will overcome your desires. And if you don't want to, you never will. Or conversely, if there's a will, there is a way, which simply means you will figure it out if you want to. So in the case of drums, do you want to play a real drum set? And honestly, not everybody does, which at times has been shocking to me, but it's their want to, and I can try and impose my want to, but at the end of the day, if they want to play an electronic drum set, that's what they're going to do. Do you want to play loud? Man, it's fun to play loud, to hit the drums hard. I have broken sticks. I have broken drum heads. I've broken cymbals. So I get it. And some people, they just don't care about anything else. They want the feeling of how it feels to play loud. All right, here's some other questions. Do you want to be considered to be a great musician? Do you want to play out at various venues? What is it that you want to do? And really, it's going to come down to what is that? You know, for myself, I hate playing electronic drums. There's little dynamics, the cymbals are almost always terrible, and honestly, I just don't like it. So that's why I built all those drum cages before. It was because I wanted to play a real drum set, and I thought that that was how you did it. So I saw that on the videos and was doing fine because I was able to create that environment. But then a friend of mine asked me to fill in for their drummer who was out for some reason, vacation or whatever. And he said, look, we don't have a drum cage, so you're going to have to play our electronic kit. And that's when I was stuck, all right, because I wanted to help my friend and I hated playing electronic drums. So I'm caught in the middle, right? Now, I had seen people play real drums in a small space before, a little bit in college. We had a professor that was really good and would do that, but it was mostly in jazz ensembles. So I had never really seen that in a worship environment work very well. But looking back now, I would really say that it was the Lord inspiring me and giving me the idea. And part of it was the necessity of the moment. But I decided to see if I could learn how to play the drums quietly. My son had a little drum set. And at the time, we were living in a 500 square foot apartment. And I just started practicing these songs. But with one added feature, was I had my family in the room, and my wife does not like things loud at all. And so they would tell me if I was too loud, and if I was, then I would bring it down. And I had to learn how to do it, had to make some changes that I'll talk about here maybe in a minute. But amazingly enough, it was really in like a week's period of time that I was able to figure it out. And so much so that when I got to the church and actually started playing, they said, well, actually, you can play a little bit louder if you want to. Now, I had an idea of what was possible, and then I wanted to do it, and so then I did it. What was in the way was a lack of knowledge, right? And so as we've traveled from church to church and places really all over the world, I feel that most musicians and churches are kind of caught in the similar predicament, where their want to and their know how to are not exactly meeting up in the middle. So here's some things I want you to know about drums and drummers, and then more specifically in general about musicians. So we've already talked about tip number one, which is you got to know what's possible. Tip number two, right, we already covered, you got to find where your want to is. I wanted to play loud, I liked it, but I wanted to play a real drum set more, and honestly, I wanted to grow as a musician, so I just found greater joy in sounding great than in how I felt playing, and so I made the changes. Of course, not everybody is the same. So here we are at tip number three, which is learn how to set up your drums to sound good. Now, this is so important for all instrumentalists and even vocals, really. But I'm going to add something here at the end, which really is the difference maker. You got to set up your drums, your guitar, your voice, or whatever it is that you're making music with to sound good at low volumes. Right, write that down. Think about it. Make it sound good at low volumes. So what you do is you tune your drums so that lighter hits produce the tone that you're looking for. Now, this is going to require you to take off all the items that you put on to lower the volume on the drums. These are the deadener rings, the gels, the tapes, the towels, all this stuff, right? It even means you have to select the right kind of drum heads. You need to know the difference between a coated head, a clear single ply head, and many of the deadener heads that are out there. Some of them are even filled with all of those gels and tapes and towels that we talked about earlier. So this goes for the cymbals as well. You got to buy cymbals that sound good when you hit them softly. You know, right now the trend is towards a darker tone and really thinner construction, which when I was at NAMM, which is the North American Music Merchants Showcase here in town this summer, I was talking with the guy from Sabian and he said, you know what, thinner cymbals actually break less, which of course was a little shocking to me, but one thing I also found is that I didn't break any more cymbals because I wasn't hitting them as hard. All right, now today is not the tutorial in exactly how to do all of that stuff, although would love to show you and help you figure those things out because they were marked moments in my life that propelled me forward. But maybe the thing that's more important than the technical thing is understanding that most people set up their instrument to only sound good at medium to loud volumes. And this actually makes you want to play louder. Now, this really leads us to maybe the most important thing, an idea that I can convey to you about working with musicians. And this comes after all of the traveling. We've traveled from coast to coast to coast to different parts of the world. And all of the consulting that we've done, the arguments that I've had with people, the breakthroughs we've made with teams, and then the countless hours of analyzing it all in my analytical brain. It really comes down to this. So I hope you're paying attention. Hope you're ready to write this down. People play what they think sounds good. Now, while that sounds a little oversimplified, I cannot overstate the importance of this idea enough. It is the key that unlocks the true growth and transformation in people. All right, it's also why you get an argument and why people's feelings get hurt. Because if you tell a musician, hey, that doesn't sound good, it just hurts their feelings. Now, why is that? It's because they don't believe you. They have to hear that it doesn't sound good to themselves, or they're never going to make any changes. They're just going to say, man, that guy doesn't, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That pastor, man, that guy's a traveling guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You're dealing with two sets of reality. Now, you might be able to get them to modify their behavior because you're in charge and you have authority, but as soon as you're not there or not enforcing their obedience, they're going to go right back to what it is that they think sounds good. And that's when I'm talking about a reality problem. So if you really want to change a musician's behavior, you have to create a listening environment where the wrong playing sounds wrong and where the right sounds right. I'm going to say that again. You have to create a listening environment where the wrong playing sounds wrong and where the right playing sounds right. Now, this is done almost entirely by how you monitor while you're playing. So here's the next tip. You have to live in reality. Again, you will play what sounds good to you. What most people do, however, is they change their environment to make what they are playing sound good rather than changing what they are playing to sound right. That's why people love their personal monitor mixes with in-ears. And they will fight you to the death about how they are the best and the only way to monitor. They will look at you like you're a moron and tell you that you're dumb. Why? Because they are living in an entirely different universe than everyone else, one that they completely control by themselves. Now, what's funny to me and what I'm trying to do to help these people realize is that while it sounds amazing in your ears, you are actually off at the soundboard and don't know it. Because their experience, what they're listening to, is a vastly different one than the rest of us. They are not listening to what we are listening to. So in their world, they're the backbone of the band. They're on pitch, they're in time. And I only know this because I had done the exact same thing and really was trying to free people from it. A rock star in my own ears, off at the soundboard and didn't know it. And I had an attitude of greatness. And it really wasn't until I was giving a guitar lesson to some of my students that one of them had the nerve to tell me, we can't ever hear you on Sunday. Now, that was a painful moment because in my mind, I was the backbone. I was the glue that was keeping this band together. And if I wasn't playing, then they were going to fall desperately apart. Now, that was a little heartbreaking and hard to take, and I actually stepped off the team for a little while and had to come face to face with reality as I thought I was amazing and I was actually not even playing anything worth hearing. And that made me face it and say, okay, well, I got to make some changes. And that really has propelled me time and time again into getting better. So as we wrap this up today, I just want to encourage you. You have to know what's truly possible. Listening to this podcast will help you going to some places and going further than the people that are selling you things. Number one will help you for sure. But then also you have to know where your want to is. And when it comes down to it, there's some people who just don't want the same things that you want. and honestly don't want to put in the time that it takes to do things. And if that's where you are, then you just have to own up to it and say, this is where we're at. And then lastly, just this idea of creating an environment where you're listening to the same thing that other people are listening to, that you're living in the same reality. You know, going back to when I was learning how to play drums quietly, the thing that I figured out is that when I put my headphones in, I could no longer tell that I was too loud. And as soon as I took my headphone out, I could tell, oh, wow, that is too loud. And so what I figured out is that one headphone in, one headphone out allowed me to hear the music, but then I could also hear how loud I was playing. And then that turned into, if I'm going to have a monitor, then the only thing I'm going to put in it is just the click. And so I would put one earbud in with just the click, and then everything else I would hear from out in the room. You know, in South America, they just put one speaker behind the band and then one speaker in front of the band. And that makes it easy because you're listening to exactly what everybody else is listening to because it's the same speaker. So there are probably other ways to do that, but the point is the same. You just have to find a way to make the right part sound right and the wrong part sound wrong. All right, well, until next time, we're just praying God's favor, God's blessing over your life, that you will grow and become everything that He's called you to be, serving your churches and your communities well. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to email us at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. And until next time, God bless.